You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this Palm Sunday, which is also for the second year in a row, our prayer chaplain dedication. So it's a beautiful day to mark those moments of dedication in our own life and those moments of triumphal entry, of stepping into a whole new paradigm and world. And that really is one of the main messages of Palm Sunday and the entry into Jerusalem, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And as in Unity and in New Thought, we look at the symbolism of the stories as much as the literal interpretation of the stories. And so today is really about prayer and transformation, prayer as a method and a vehicle for transformation, whether it be a very physical transformation or a interior spiritual transformation. But with transformation always comes the paradox of birth and death. And we're going to be exploring, especially as we enter into meditation, toward the end of Jesus' life, in this leading up to just before Holy Week and then during Holy Week, there is a series of paradoxes that culminate in the entry into Jerusalem. There is a coming together of the paradox, an essential merging and a dancing between, actually not merging, but dancing between these seeming opposites that must come together in a transformed consciousness. But to do that, there is a certain death that does occur. And I was reminded of that Latin phrase, Ave imperator morituri te salitant. Ave imperator morituri te salitant. Anyone know what that means? Those who are about to die salute you. There is something about the spiritual journey, and particularly what Christianity has brought to the spiritual religions, that is about something must be transformed. Something must be released from ordinary consciousness, from an egoic state. The shell of the egg must crack open for the chick to emerge. With every death, there is also a rebirth. Those who are about to die salute you. There is this nobility and this beauty in leaning into when Jesus enters Jerusalem. There is a knowingness that this could be the end. And there's a willingness to go anyway. So we're going to be looking at that in our own life and how prayer can actually support that process as we celebrate prayer, as we celebrate transformation that's happening in our life, and use the template of the story of Palm Sunday to integrate what is being called to integrate. Will you join me in prayer? So taking a deep breath in and out, knowing that in prayer, through prayer, as prayer, all things are possible. As that Christed consciousness that we always already are, we open to the transformative process that is unfolding in our life as our lives, knowing we are entering our own Jerusalem. Allowing the symbol of the cross, these energetic currents, to take us higher, to take us deeper, to permeate and perfume our life with truth, so that anything that's feeling opposite to that, outside of God, becomes an integrated whole. And so we open to that this morning as we celebrate those who have dedicated a year to praying with us, and see our own dedication as we enter Jerusalem together. And so it is. Amen. You know, there's this capacity in, as we all are, move along the spiritual path, hopefully when we start really doing that transformation of self-work that can transcend and include, that holds the consciousness of unity, of I am, our daily word for today, and can sing some of those more traditional songs that that come from a place of that relationship with the beloved, with that relational aspect of the divine that shows up in our devotion and our reverence for what is. And that's a part of this transformational journey, this transformational process that is signified in the story of the triumphal entry of Jesus during this time, this week that changed the world, some people call it. But also, it is our spiritual journey. Fortunately, most of us do not need to go the way of the martyr, right? But we are all offered the opportunity and really the necessity to walk the way of transformation. And pretty much every mature spiritual path, religious path even, talks about in some way, in some context, that to walk this path of transformation, we must engage in prayer. And I'm going to offer two types of prayer today. There's a cataphatic prayer and an apophatic prayer. Those are two forms. Anyone familiar with those words? Some of you, yeah. Those are very Christian words, but they are very also descriptive words of what is happening in our prayer practice. One is very engaged with the world. That includes our faculties, our senses, our concepts. This is where spoken prayer comes in. And one is about emptying, is about really creating the space and the field for unity, for merging, for silence. They are both important to the transformational process. So let's look at the actual scripture, the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So to give a little context, and if we had more time, I would do a whole other deal on what is happening actually before he begins to enter Jerusalem. Because what happens is that there is a lot of juxtaposition of life and death, of healing and wholeness, of sickness and wholeness. This is where he raises Lazarus from the dead, and where Mary of Mary and Martha, not Mary Magdalene, of Mary and Martha, anoints his feet with oil, with very expensive oil, which gets Judas all upset. And she anoints his feet with her hair. So there's another very intimate moment. We have a lot of focus on the feet in this last week. When someone touches your feet, usually that means there's some level of relationship, right? There's something very intimate about our feet. And so we see the symbolism of communion, of relationship, of anointing that's happening as Jesus prepares to enter Jerusalem. He also, in one of the Gospels, heals some men who are blind. So there's this movement, and actually in another scripture, one of the disciples' moms are lobbying for her two sons to sit on the right and the left-hand side of Jesus in the new kingdom. And so he's dealing with lots of in-the-world things as well as really wrestling with this awareness of something is happening, something is cooking. And we all, during moments of our life, have those insights that something is happening, something is cooking. And the best way, that the most profound way, when you are in something in a time when something is cooking, is to let it cook you. This is the transformational process. And this is where prayer serves as our foundation. And this is where our prayer chaplains are here to hold that space with us in those times when something is happening, where we can step outside of the story and the drama or ordinary awareness and develop a sense of the spiritual undertones, the subtle energies that are happening, and let it literally undo us for our transformation. So when Jesus is preparing to enter Jerusalem, now there's several paradoxes that we're going to be looking at, and we've already started to explore. One is, I have one of my go-to books on the Bible, which is called The Jesus Seminar, which was created by scholars of the Bible, and they looked at the words that Jesus was recorded as saying and ranked them in how likely it was that he actually said those words. And pretty much all the way through this part of the Gospels, they don't think Jesus said much of any of it. Interesting. And so we can hold that more analytical perspective in our awareness. However, I will also say, and again, we're marrying seeming opposites in the paradox. So even if that's true, that none of what was said, he actually said, this has been added in later, there's another aspect that is equally important, that what is recorded, what is said, holds such spiritual depth. I can relate to it in my own spiritual journey, and my sense is that many of you can also. There is a light of truth to it. So whether it is literally true, I experience it as spiritually true. Can you hold that? So there's this beginning to merge and dance with seeming opposites. And the triumphal entry into Jerusalem is the symbolization, is the experience of being able to dance between what seems to be diametrically opposed and be okay with that. So in your life, you might be experiencing a major shattering right now. To be able to hold that while simultaneously holding the space for new life is the culmination of living in Jerusalem consciousness, of entering into Jerusalem consciousness. Because Jerusalem is about peace. It's about harmony. And it's about the vision of the transformed self, a holy place of living. So Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And they're at the Mount of Olives, and we're going to be returning to the Mount of Olives. Interesting that he enters, but he does not stay. So they're at the Mount of Olives, and he says to some disciples, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." And so all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." And so this is a fulfillment of some scripture from the Hebrew scriptures. This realization, how many of you have ever had like your chart read? Or you don't have to raise your hands. Or had some kind of a premonition even, or a vision or a dream that all of a sudden started to come into reality. So this is the same type of thing, except it's at a more global scale. It's at a societal scale. So he's seeing the scripture coming into being and saying, "Bring the colt." So here's another paradox that's really important as we enter into the Jerusalem consciousness. There is this elevated sense of self and capacity that's not from the ego place, but from this divine embodiment. This is around the time of the transfiguration, where his body literally becomes light. And then he tells, don't say anything. So there's this transformational quality that's already moving, this illumined nature, this exalted state, that as we really journey in the spiritual path, when there's this maturity, we start to maybe think, I have this down. My life, I've got the spiritual thing happening. There's maybe even a tone of arrogance to it. I know the right prayer, or I know it. I know what you need. You just need to meditate more, or go to a class. So there's this sense of mastery, but simultaneously there's this cult, this untamed, unbridled, really lowly, very lowly, wild animal that he's riding in on. So again, there's another paradox here. When we're entering the state of this abiding peace, of the new consciousness, there is the paradox of this exalted state, this realized state, and also a very humble state, a sense of humility, of being willing to be at the mercy almost of something wild and untamed. Because that is equally, as much as there is a mastery of the spiritual life, there is also a deep reverence for the mystery and for what will never be known. And so the symbolism of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on this donkey holds that perspective, holds that paradox that we are all asked with every level of realization, with every insight we get, especially when we're in the middle of a transformative process, there needs to be, in one way or another, this will come in, an equal and opposite humbling experience. Now, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, as they say in the movies. There's an interior humility that can develop, or sometimes an exterior humility needs to happen for that interior. But again, ultimately, it is pointing to, and this is where prayer becomes our foundation, because in prayer, what we're doing is we are cultivating a field of consciousness. We are never in prayer changing God or changing a divine plan that's already at play. Never. What we are doing is we are setting our consciousness to be in attunement and alignment with what is, with reality. And Jesus' willingness to enter into Jerusalem, knowing that probably, I mean, he's been getting reports from all over town, so to speak, that there are plots to kill him. So there's this willingness to enter those who are about to salute you, those who are about to die, salute you. There's a willingness to let go of what needs to be let go. And later, you know, as in the Last Supper, in the Passover meal, let this cup pass, but ultimately thy will be done. There is this incredible surrender that is required when we enter into that unitive state or into Jerusalem, as Jesus is symbolizing in the Palm Sunday story. That is really our story. And so the disciples did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them and set Jesus on the colt. And so then there's this, the symbol of him entering into Jerusalem and the multitudes crying before him, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So a little bit of cultural context here. Hosanna actually means save now. So there was this perspective from the people of that time, because there's always this talk of this kingdom, and they were looking for the Messiah to overthrow the government. Some kind of parallels to what's happening now a little bit. We're looking for someone to save us. And there is this sense that from the multitudes, Jesus is the new king, the one who's going to take over. And from the beginning and throughout his ministry, what? He keeps saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." Again, another paradox, and a very important one, because as we develop a spiritual context and maturity and even mastery, there is an invitation to step into leadership in some way, in some form. And so he keeps coming into and remembering. And remember, throughout the Gospels and the Scriptures, he is going apart from the world for a while. And my reading into that is that he is continuing to reconnect with what really is true, to commune with the divine in prayer and in silence, in this external and this internal emptying. So he enters, and the people are saying, "Hosanna, our Savior has come." And he keeps saying, "No." But there is this recognition that something is happening. Something is emerging. Something is coming together. And so you received a cross when you came in this morning. And she just stepped out, but Arlene Pageant, I want to thank her, and probably Bill McCombs a little bit, as her assistant, created these for us again this year. And the cross is a really important symbol. You know, from the beginning of his ministry, one of the things that Jesus is recorded as saying is, "Take up your cross and follow me." So there's this cross is ultimately a symbol of transformation. And so especially for today, I invite you to really hold that symbol as, and in our culture, there's this kind of this idea that the cross is something, you know, heavy and burdensome and just almost unbearable, and it can be. But there's also a sense, again, because we're bringing the opposites together in this new consciousness, in this new Jerusalem, that is really about the current of the divine moving through our lives and how that is manifesting in our life. How that movement of spirit is calling us to come higher, to embody. And that really is the horizontal current symbolically is really about this consciousness, this divine consciousness, this Christed consciousness moving into our lives and showing up in our lives. So literally on the cross, Jesus is symbolizing that movement. So this week, I invite you to really hold, if there's something going on in your life that feels like it is transforming you, to use this symbol of the cross as a reminder that there is a divine movement occurring. And through prayer, we can open to that consciousness in a very real way and have it manifesting and have it manifest in our lives as we stay open to that divine current that ultimately ends in that realization, in that awakened consciousness, that inner awakening that our practice, our presence is calling forward. So really hold that. This is a really powerful week, and there's a lot of opportunities to come back and immerse yourself in it here. But really see this week as an opportunity to hold whatever might be heavy on your heart, and it can be something collective or something very small. It's not so heavy, but something you're just working with. Allow it to be your own moment of entry into Jerusalem. The humility to say, I'm willing to let this be transformed. I am willing to be transformed.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.